Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I'd like to say good morning to all those who are here on this morning. It's definitely a blessing to be here at the Liberty Church of Christ. This is my first time having the privilege to speak to you all, and it's been definitely have appreciated all the hospitality thus far. Definitely a very hospitable and loving group here. It's definitely been shown. And so I just definitely want to say thank you to our brothers and sisters here who have shown us hospitality so far. Thank God for blessing all of us to arise on this morning. God is definitely a awesome God, and I oftentimes challenge the saints that meet us for Parkway that if you don't believe that there is a God, and if you believe that it is yourself that controls everything about who you are in your life, then I would dare you to just stop breathing on your own. I don't mean just hold your breath. I mean to actually stop your lungs or your heart, right? And so we know that if we cannot, within ourselves, with our own power, just make those things cease, that we know there's a higher power and a God that truly does cause us to live. And we ought to always be thankful to the God of heaven for all that he does to sustain our lives. I want to also say thank you to my wife, my beautiful wife, and my daughter for being with me here and supporting me. They are my number one and two cheerleaders oftentimes, but sometimes they correct me as well, you know, but they, I think that's still a cheer to make sure that, I do things effectively in everything that I do. But again, appreciate the hospitality. The scripture that I did provide, well, it may have been some miscommunication. It is actually Psalm, the 103rd chapter, and the verses are 1-5. And, I would like for us to turn to that portion of scripture, and I will read through it. Psalm chapter 103, verses 1-5. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth or thy years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Is that in your Bibles? Amen. Yesterday, I was enjoying time with my daughter, and she plays the violin, and I play the saxophone. Were you clapping? I saw somebody go, "You were clapping. You must play violin too." But anyway, she plays the violin, I play the saxophone, and as we were playing through some of the tunes that she actually will be tested over, and as we were playing, you know, and playing together, and I started sharing with her, which she already knew, that my favorite artist of all time is James Brown. And I began to communicate to her that James Brown is the one that innovated a number of things when it comes to music. He was the one that emphasized the downbeat, the one, and I was sharing with her all that meant for the entire music genres that have emerged since the 70s, and I just, then I started playing the songs, and as I played the songs, I started playing with the songs by ear, and before you knew it, I started, you know, dancing a little bit, and by this time, she was getting a little annoyed, like, "Daddy, come on now, you know." and she was, like, "Lord, have mercy," you know, and so, but as I thought about that, before I came before you all this morning, I thought about the fact that, in essence, I was giving praise to James Brown. In essence, I was blessing his accomplishments throughout his career as a musician. And in essence, when we think about what it means to bless or to praise an individual or a being, it really encompasses the abilities or their character or anything that it is that they are famous for. And we then will speak about rather all of the glory and the excellence of who they are and so forth. And so I began to think like, okay, that James Brown is for me, but we all have somebody who we like in one area or another, where it be music or sports or all these areas. And essentially, these people are famous to us. And they are famous to us because of all the good things that they have done within whatever area that it is. So then I thought about God and what it means to us as the people of God to bless and praise the name of God. And essentially what it means is that if we are going to bless or praise or extol the name of God the way that we ought to, it means that God has to be at the highest level in our minds and throughout our lives. When God rises to the level that he ought to be in all of our hearts and minds, it is then and only then that we will give full energy to praise and bless his name as he deserves. The interesting thing about this is that it's not that we can lift God any higher than he is, because our God is already high. What praise and blessing and extolling God consists of is how high do we see him, right? And so as we move through this sermon and through this lesson, I want each of us to think about, how is it that we see God? How high do we see the God of heaven? How high is he ranked in our minds and our hearts on the fame list or the top list of whoever? And it is to that degree that when we see God higher and higher and higher in our lives, we will elevate how we praise and bless his name throughout of our lives, all right? And I want us also to think about this as we move through this lesson, and that is that when we come together as an assembly to bless and praise the name of God, that can't take place with full energy until all of us individually are first motivated to bless and praise the name of God. Okay? So that means that we all have to individually, you and me, we all have to consider ourselves individually. When we do come together, each of us individually needed to already have a high regard for God, so therefore that when we do come together, all of our praise is just joined as one. Does that make sense? And so I want us again to think about those things as we move through the lesson. Number one, that how high do we see God? And number two, make your blessing and your praise as personal as possible with God, because it's then that our collective or our assembled blessing to God will receive or get the full energy that it ought to have. Now, another thing I want to mention as well is that praise, and I hope y'all don't mind. I'm used to moving around, so I'm gonna do that a little bit, because this is just who I am. And so, but when we talk about praise, when we talk about blessing the name of God, it's not about let me back up a little bit. The praise and the blessing that we show toward God has to start on the inside. Praise, blessing, extolling has a number of different expressions. But it's not all about the expression. A person can be as loud as they want to be. They can be as silent as they want to be. They can move how they want. None of that matters, if God is not at a level where he ought to be in our hearts. This is the whole reason why Jesus said that they that worship God must worship him where? In spirit and in truth, right? And so we're going to see some of that. So I just wanted to make sure that's understood so that we understand that our expressions are one thing. We're going to see in this psalm that the expression that David mentions is our words, right? So even while we are singing those songs, it is very imperative and important that our hearts are viewing God the way that we ought to, okay? So what does David say? I want us to see a couple of things in the first verse of Psalm 103. First, I want us to see that the action that David gives is with singular emphasis, okay? It's with singular emphasis, but the subject that he's talking about is dual emphasis, okay? Here's what that means. The action, the imperative that he says, bless the Lord, right? He says, bless the Lord, which means to speak about the excellency and the power of a being. And so he says, bless the Lord, and it is an imperative, meaning that it is a necessary or it is a must, it is a need be that I do this. Now, notice this as well. When he talks about the subject that blesses the Lord, he says, oh, who? My soul. So that means that David is not encouraging anybody else. There are other psalms for that. In the beginning of this song, what David is doing is he is encouraging himself. In other words, he's taking the time at the beginning of this song to say, let me get myself ready. Let me make sure that my mind and my heart is prepared and ready and fully engaged to bless the Lord. Do we see that? He says, bless the Lord. And when he says the Lord, it is coming from that memorial name of God. By the way, God, the term God is not God's name. Make sure we understand that. The term God is not God's name. God, the term God, Elohim, is a description. Okay? The same term is used for other gods. When the Bible would say the God of the Amorites, or the God of the Ananites, the Canaanites rather, the term God is used as a description. This is why usually there's an adjective or there are additional words or a genitive clause when we are looking at the God of heaven. It would say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, or the Almighty God. What the Bible is really showing is that these are descriptions of a supreme being, right? So when we talk about God, what we're really saying is that there is a supreme being. Who is that supreme being? It's the same one who was a supreme ruler over Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and so forth, okay? Now, where does the term Lord come from? It comes from when Moses was being sent into Egypt to rescue Israel out of Egypt. He said, man, well, who am I going to tell them that sent me? And God said, almost as he was telling Moses, I can't be confined in the name necessarily, but I'll give you a name to tell them. Tell them that I am that I am. I am the self-existent one. I'm self-sufficient. And if you want a name to remember me by, go tell them that I am sent you. Okay? So when David says, bless the Lord, he's referring to that memorial God. Does that make sense? And it's the same way with us. When we bless the Lord, it ought to be that Lord, that God at all times that we are considering when we bless. Okay? Now here's the good part, because just again, the subject is twofold. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he's speaking to his inner person. Do we see that? His inner person, that means his soul. Remember that when God formed the man, the shape of a man out of the dust of the ground, it was not until God breathed into his nostrils that he became a living being. That means he became a living soul. So when David says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, he's talking about his inner person. This is why I said earlier that our praise, our blessing to God has to begin on the inside. Everything else would be in vain if we're not truly recognizing who God is in our inner person. Does that make sense? So then David, he gives the other subject. He says, oh my soul, and then he says, and all that is within me. So what does that mean? David first of all says my soul, but now he says all the parts of my inner person. Well, what are the parts of our inner person? The parts of our inner person are our thoughts, our emotions, our understanding, right? So that means that when I am engaging in blessing God or speaking well of all the power and the excellence of God, that takes a mental process. That means that as I am engaged in singing those wonderful songs, our Lord, we sang some good songs today, by the way. Those were some good words that ought to really should have put some things on our heart to really think about God and His activity in our lives. But what ought to be engaged? What ought to be engaged as we're singing those songs is our thought process. Right? Not only that, but what is it that we are understanding from what we are singing together? Right? Not only that, but how does this make me feel? Has God really been a shelter to me? And if God has really been a shelter, if He has really protected my life, how does that make me feel? You let any of our children, if they are in a danger or what they feel like a dangerous situation, and they see mama, daddy, grandpa, grandma, uncle, auntie, big brother, whoever, and rescue them from this situation, they are going to be as happy as they were crying before. See, that's the emotional side. Do we see this? And so that means that when we bless the name of God, when we bless God, it involves the inner being. Okay? Does that make sense? All right? So David says that bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. When he says His holy name, that's a separated reputation. That means that everybody, James, I like James. I love James Brown. I love the Godfather soul. But His holy name, God's reputation is separate from all that. He has a higher, there's nobody on God's list. Yeah, there's a top 10 list of rock and all the other good stuff, but on God's list, nobody's on that list. Does that make sense? So when he says his holy name, this is a consecrated reputation. This is a holy reputation. There's no being that has the reputation of my Lord. Okay? So that's what he says. Now, watch the second verse. The second verse, the subject is singular. It's a singular emphasis on the subject. But the action is now dual, or it's twofold. What does he say? He says, bless the Lord. Do y'all see it? Oh, my soul. There it is. The bless the Lord. That's the first action. Well, what's the subject now? My soul. So he says, not only do I bless the Lord, but with equal emphasis, I also need to what? Don't forget none of his benefits. So that means that when we are engaged in blessing and praising God, David is saying, while I'm praising, while I'm speaking of all the good things about the Lord, He is so great, He is mighty, at the same time, let me not forget about all that God has done to benefit my life. Right? Because what will happen is that we could be engaged in certain acts of praise or worship, but we might not be fully honoring God the way that we ought to, and our minds could be caught up in other places because we are not remembering those things that God has done to contribute to the well-being of my life. Now, here's the interesting thing. Usually, when we talk about well-being or you see the term benefits, we start thinking about, you know, like job benefits, you know, money and status and all those other good things. But watch this. David is speaking to his soul. Okay. So while oftentimes when we think about benefit, all that benefits my life, oftentimes our mind goes to all things that we could possess, own, and feel comfortable with in the flesh. But when we talk about our souls, what would contribute to the well-being of my soul, right? Remember what Jesus said, what would it profit a man to do what? Gain the entire world and do what? Lose his soul. What would a man give or a woman give for in exchange for his or her soul, right? So we see that there's a great importance on the soul, that inner person of all of us, right? And so what would contribute to the well-being? And not only that, but David is saying that while I bless the name of the Lord, I need not at the same time not lose a memory, not lose or get amnesia about all of his benefits. Well, what are some of the benefits? In case we forget sometimes how God has benefited, especially those of us who are in Christ, by the blood of Christ, by the love and grace of our God, those of us who have been called into the kingdom of life, what are those benefits from God that have contributed to the well-being of my soul? David says, let me list off one for myself. He's not talking about anybody else. Again, this is a personal thing. We all have to do this personally as we bless God. We ought to all in mind take the time to reflect on how has God benefited my soul? Because if we don't individually do that, then individually we really won't give or fully be engaged in praising and blessing the name of God, right? So what does he say? I want us to note these down too, by the way, because we need to know that these are the things that contribute to the well-being of our inner person, that inner person of all of us that nobody can see right now. The fact that all of us have thoughts right now, I don't know what your thoughts are, but only you know, right? That's your inner person, right? Whatever you feel, you could be masking it right now, but however you are feeling on the inside, but nobody else really knows, that's your inner person. And so we all need to take notes on what is it that can benefit my inner person, my soul, at the same time that I bless the name of God. The very first thing that David lists off, he says that God forgives. We need not ever forget that the God, the Lord that we have of our lives, he is a God with the divine activity of forgiveness. Okay? Forgiveness simply means that I will stop blaming somebody. I know sometimes, you know, sometimes some of us think here's what iniquity means. Here's the interesting thing about iniquity. Iniquity is not just the transgression or the behavior. Iniquity becomes iniquity for you and me when we realize that what we have done has gone against the righteousness of God. When we realize that, we are then confronted by God and the righteousness of God. When we are, it's a bad thing to be confronted by God, by the way. It's one thing to be confronted by one another. But when we realize that we are confronted by the supreme being, it becomes iniquity in the realization of iniquity when I'm confronted by that God for that wrong or for those bad things, and then guilt sets in. Right? And here's the thing, guilt is not felt in the flesh. Guilt is felt where? Inside. That's why David could say in Psalm 34, my guilt is such a heavy burden on me, it's like a burden on me that I cannot stand up under, right? And all of us at some point should have felt that type of guilt about our lives toward God, right? And so watch this. So when David says, here's a divine benefit, and not only that, but here's the good thing. Often, not necessarily a good thing, but here's a common thing with the people of God. Oftentimes, we are still weighed down by guilt. Right? And oftentimes, it's because we don't understand or we have not fully embraced this particular benefit of the Lord that we serve. Right? But it is necessary to be confronted by God so that God can display his forgiveness and we can receive that benefit in realizing that the God of me, my God, the one I serve, is a God who does not blame me anymore for those things that I am guilty for. Do you know how much weight that comes off of my heart when I realize I'm no longer guilty? I know what I did last year. I know what I did 10 years ago. I know what I did yesterday. But I thank God that he is a God with the activity and the care to forgive and no longer blame me. And no longer take offense to the behaviors that I committed on yesterday and the days before. Does that make sense? This is a benefit for our souls, right? So watch this. Then David says, not only is our God one who forgives, he's also one who heals. Do we see this? He heals how many? All. He said that about iniquities, by the way, too. All of our iniquities. And then he says he heals all of our diseases. Now, here's a stronger support for the fact that this is spiritual talk from David. Because when I first read this verse and I was studying it And I looked at it, and you know, David said he heals all of our diseases. Heal simply means that God has the divine activity of providing a cure or restoring health, right? And I thought about that, and I said, well, this can't be talking about the physical, because I still have diabetes. Okay? Some of you all may still have certain diseases in your life, right? And so God does not always heal all of our physical diseases. What David is describing is the spiritual healing of our spiritual diseases. Let me give you an example of what a spiritual disease is or looks like when it comes to our souls and how God's divine ability to heal that and what it looks like. Isaiah chapter 1, God describes the fact that Israel was sick from head to toe, right? He was not talking about a physical sickness. He was talking about their sinfulness, right? Hosea chapter 14, God describes a sickness and needed to be healed in this way. He talks about apostasy, right? There's a scripture in Jeremiah where he also talks about unfaithfulness, not being committed or fully trusting in God, right? Those are spiritual diseases that are abnormal functions for the soul. But here it is that David says, I'm going to bless God. At the same time I bless God, I'm not going to forget that my God has healed me of all that spiritual disease deadliness that I had in my soul. We ought to, and as a matter of fact, as I remember these things, it motivates my blessing of God. As I'm singing, I think about the fact that all my sins and all the things that I've done, God has healed me. I was walking one way, but he turned me around. He said, right, I will bless God even more because I'm remembering all the things that God has done to benefit my life. Right. Not only that, but then David says y'all got him down. He forgives, he heals, and then he also redeems. David says another benefit for my soul is that he redeems my life from the pit. Redeem simply means to purchase, to bring back to safety. Okay. The pit was dug for one or two reasons. One, for a grave, or it was made for captives that the army would bring back. And what David is doing is using that physical picture of a pit to describe symbolically the trouble that our souls are oftentimes in. We all face a number of circumstances that are troubling. They are depressing. They are distressing. We are fearful. We don't know how to get out, right? We feel like we are in darkness in our circumstances. And have you noticed that through all those circumstances in our lives that there seems to be a ray of hope one day or one moment or one phone call away, that there seems to be more brightness shining in our life? That's God redeeming our lives and our souls from the pit of all that darkness that oftentimes we place ourselves in, right? And when we remember that benefit of God, it ought to move us to praise him and acknowledge him at the highest height when we are blessing his name. Do you see it? So he says he forgives, he heals, and he redeems. The next thing David says is that he crowns your life. Everybody likes a crown. Everybody likes a little reward, even for the little spelling bees, the kids. They like to get the little ribbons, and, you know, everybody want to be the top performer. You know, we all like to be recognized. Y'all don't play like y'all don't like being recognized. Now, everybody likes to be recognized every now and again for something that they have done and so forth. Well, here's the interesting thing about when God crowns us within this context is that we haven't done anything to deserve a crown. Ah, we ought to thank God for that. Cause see, the life in this world is so pressing, for all your resume and everything. They want to see what you have done. If you've done enough bad, if you've done enough good, so for us to disqualify you or accept you or whatever. See, we're so pressed by the world when it comes to that. But when it comes to God, David says he crowns me. But here's how I know that it does, it's not rather deserving, is because of what God crowns me with. He says he crowns me with his steadfast love and his compassion. Thank God for that, right? What does this mean, Brother Evans? This means that God honors me. He crowns and honors me with his commitment. That means that whatever other people do in life, whether people in life love me or not, I know that I have been honored and crowned, and I am in the presence of the commitment and the loyal love of the supreme being of heaven, the one who created everything, the one who fixed everything that we see. And if he could fix those things and the setting of the sun, the moon, and the stars, I know that if he says that he loves me, and he's always going to love me, and there's nothing that can separate his love from me, I thank God for that, and that leads more to my blessing his holy name, right? And not only that, but his mercy. That simply means that God continues to shower us with his mercy, meaning that he pities us. He has compassion on us for when we make mistake after mistake after mistake. We ought to thank God for that, because and none of us are there, right? I said none of, well, maybe some of us, I don't know. None of us are all the way there, right? We're not all the way in heaven where we deserve heaven on our own. None of us. I want to make sure none of us miss the grace of God, right? We are all been called to the presence of God by the grace of God, not by our own merit. And we ought to thank God for his loyal love and his mercy. All right, here's the fifth one. Y'all got them? God forgives. These are the benefits for our soul. God forgives. God what? He heals. He does what? He redeems. The fourth one is he crowns us. The fifth one is that he satisfies. Okay? This is the only one in this list where not only is God acting, but the subject of God's actions, or the recipient, is also acting. It's as if when we say that God feeds the hungry, that means that God is acting in providing food, but the one who is hungry is participating as well, because they're eating the food that God. We see this. So this is the only one that David lists that the subject or my soul actually engages in action as well with God. What is that? He satisfies my life. All of us want to be satisfied. We want to be content. As a matter of fact, we should be content with God, right? Why? Because God can fulfill everything it is that we need for our souls and that we want. Well, here's the interesting thing. David says, he satisfies my years or my life. He satisfies my life with good things, right? That your what? Your youth may be renewed like the eagles. You say, what does this mean, Brother Evans? What does this mean? You know, there are a lot of marketing material today that goes out there to help you to see how you can be young all over again. Come on, y'all. Everybody wants to be young all over again. I get it. I mean, I'm 34. I'm not that old, but I do get it, though. I mean, you know, because I saw my little cousin yesterday. She just jumped up on the couch and fell back, and she kept jumping up, and she'll fall back. And I'm like, boy, if I did that, I'd have a bruise for I don't know how long. Something would be aching 5 hours later. I wouldn't remember what I was doing. You know, so it's something about wanting to be young again, you know, that fills us, and we want to feel that, because they can run, flip, jump, fall, everything, and it's just like life is all right, you know. and that's the physical life, right? Well, here it is. David is speaking about our spiritual side, our souls, and he says that God satisfies our lives with good things so that our youth, he's not talking about our physical youth, because here's the reality, is that our bodies are continuing to age and they are decaying. But here's the good thing about us in Christ is that we will receive another body. And when we receive that other body, it will not be mortal. It will not be decaying or have the capability of decaying. It will be eternal and glorious, just like our Savior Jesus Christ's glorious body. So what is David really saying? What picture is he really giving here in this last verse? It is that our souls have been renewed. They have been renewed, and since they have been renewed, they feel like the youth of an eagle flying, being able to see 50,000 yards or whatever the case is, you know what I mean? And flying with the strength that they have to go get their food and just moving with vigor. That's how our souls feel. And if our souls feel that way and are assured of the eternity that we exist in with God, that is the thing that makes us feel young all over again on the inside. I know our bodies are decaying. I know our bodies are getting all of us. It don't matter. Y'all, I understand y'all young right now. I tell my daughter the same thing. She's 12 years. Y'all young right now, but your bodies will get old. They're going to grow old. But it's something about when you know that you're going to live forever. So your bodies can't tell you that. There's nothing that you can look at in the mirror that can indicate to you that you're going to live forever. That is something you have to know for sure based on you being in Jesus Christ and your faith being in Jesus Christ, to know and be assured that I will live for all of eternity in the heavenly residence of my God of heaven. And therefore, what David is really saying in this psalm is that as I bless the name of God, as I praise the name of God, as I worship God, as I adore God, let me not ever forget all of the benefits that he has brought to my life. Not my physical life solely, for there are some residuals that bless my physical life, but primarily that internal me that will last forever. And so I encourage you, as you live a life of praise, as we live life, not just on Sunday, by the way, right? I want to make that clear, because I understand we come together collectively to do this on Sunday, but here's why I say that, because God's redemption is not just for today, right? God's forgiveness, you're going to want that tomorrow. God's redemption, that's going to be a benefit 2 days from now. His healing of our spiritual diseases, that's going to be beneficial for us on Friday, right? And so I encourage us as we think about these, as we consider these things from the Word of God, that we live, strive to live lives that bless the name of God all throughout the week. And as we do that, that we never forget all the benefits that God has done to benefit our spiritual lives. And so I pray that you are truly encouraged by that you take these things to mind. If there's anything that you need to ask God for to help you, to strengthen your mental, your mind, your emotions, to recognize him the way that you ought to, I invite you, I encourage you to come to God. Come to God and ask him of his help, ask prayer, and I guarantee you God will do things to help you to really, rather, to continue to remember those things that he has done to benefit our lives. And not only that, but remember this too, that this is there are a number of things that God mentions here, or that David mentions here, that are benefits. But if you have not received these benefits yet, this is really the gospel. This is where David has really mentioned the gospel. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, right? He crowns, and then he also renews. That's exactly what the gospel message has communicated to us in this day and time. And that is that if you would believe in the name of Jesus the Christ, who is the Son of God, and you would repent, change your mind about your sins and your past life, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. When you do those things, it is then when God redeems your life, right? Removes you from the realm of darkness and places you into the kingdom of his dear Son. He crowns you with honor, right, and love, and a steadfast love. And not only that, but he forgives your sins and he heals you from the road and the sinful diseases that were stricken and plaguing your soul. Okay. And so I encourage you that if you have not received these benefits, that you do so on today by placing your faith in the Son of God, who is Jesus the Christ. And I invite you to come. We're going to stand right now to sing a song to invite you forward.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come.